Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, great to have our friend George Blackard. He's a Navy veteran. I'm a veteran, an Army veteran. We got so many great veterans listening all across Montana and so many great folks who support our veterans. George Blackard in the house. Happy Freedom Friday to you, George. Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. It's great to be here. It's a beautiful day.
Isn't
Holy
it?
Smokes.
My
it's
goodness.
Great.
Sunny and 75, like the country song. That's what it's going to be in Billings today and Bozeman tomorrow, and it's going to be, it could break 80. So, man, good stuff, good stuff. I can't believe, of course, it's May 2nd now. I can't believe we're already entering graduation season, but a lot of these college campuses, you know, they start doing their graduation ceremonies very early. So Alabama had their big commencement last night, and their big speaker, Donald J. Trump. That was like a Trump rally at the Alabama deal. Holy cow.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. You see him out there doing all this stuff. I mean, he doesn't really pass up an opportunity to get out in the public, and he's not afraid to get out there, talk to people, mix it up. He talks to the media constantly. You know, Joe Biden, he was always in the basement. He was never talking to the media, ever, unless they just had to put him out there. And now we're finding out all these things that, well, yeah, we knew he was in such bad shape, we didn't want him out there. They're admitting that, finally. But, yeah, you know, President Trump,
they were okay with Joe Biden running cabinet meetings instead of Joe Biden, the guy who was actually elected running cabinet meetings. But now they complain that Donald Trump is having these big open cabinet meetings with all the cameras. So I wish we had more time on the show yesterday. We ran out of time. My last caller of the show yesterday was Jim in Kalispell, and he's one of our liberal callers. You know, he supported Obama, he supported Biden, he supported Kamala, and he was criticizing the Trump cabinet meetings. And it's like, and I didn't have time to have some more fun chatting with Jim in Kalispell, unless he wants to call back today. But I wanted to be like, man, you're complaining about, or you're saying that Donald Trump somehow is not with it, when here he is on display with the cameras every single day, tackling every topic under the sun, fully transparent. And like, your guy couldn't even run his own cabinet meetings.
No. And see, they just go after Trump with that same old tired story that, well, he's not fit, because they don't have anything else. That's the only thing they can make up that maybe somebody will believe. That's it. They don't have anything else. All the proof is there that he's doing a great job, that he's, you know, he's very capable. But that's what they hang on to. It's pretty sad. You know, you remember when Barack Obama got elected president and he was supposedly going to unite the country and do all this, and he was going to have the most see-through government,
whatever
that there
was, most whatever.
Yeah, didn't happen. Not even one day.
He went from promising to be the most whatever to being the least whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, really kind of sad when you look at the Biden administration, but really awful when you look at what it did to the United States of America. But the reason I brought up commencement addresses is George has his Houston Texans shirt on. I got to play a soundbite from Coach Nick Saban after this.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It was journalist Mark Halperin who first got the scoop that White House National Security Advisor Mike Waltz was out. And a few weeks ago, he got into trouble over that whole group chat Signalgate business for inadvertently inviting The Atlantic's editor-in-chief. I would argue it wasn't entirely his fault. Several news accounts quoting President Trump as telling advisors he did not want to give the media a scalp, but by waiting until that controversy had died down, it doesn't look that way. There are other factors. For example, Waltz, who gave up his House seat and as a consolation prize will now get the UN ambassadorship, he had not an America First view of the world. He's more of a traditional Republican on foreign policy. And far-right activist Laura Loomer lobbied for his ouster, and President Trump seems to listen to her. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. A new study out this week suggests ultra-processed food might increase the chance of an early death. It involved about 240,000 participants in 8 countries reviewing surveys of people's diets and data on deaths. Researchers looking into the link between a high consumption of ultra-processed foods and the risk of early death for people between the ages of 30 and 69. And they found for every 10% increase in total calories from ultra-processed foods, the risk of dying early rose by almost 3%. Researchers estimating that completely cutting out ultra-processed foods would have prevented about 124,000 premature deaths in the U.S. in 2017. The study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine Monday. The National Institutes of Health describes ultra-processed foods as things like sodas, candy, industrial bread, and some breakfast cereals, as well as ready-to-heat-and-eat dishes in the supermarket freezer section, among others. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, so President Trump, you would have thought it was a UFC fight that he was at in Alabama last night. No, but it was the graduation ceremony. That would have been a fun graduation ceremony to go. George, I don't know about you. I'm always the type, you know, you get invited to a family member or a friend's graduation, and they're like, well, we can only invite so many people to the ceremony itself, but you can come to the party afterwards. Aw, shucks, you mean I have to miss the boring ceremony and only go to the party? Well, I guess I'll make it work.
I guess so.
But sometimes you got to go to the stinking ceremony and sit through the whole thing, and that's good, too, especially if it's one of your own. So, but here we go. Nick Saban, the legendary Alabama football coach, right? He was introducing President Trump, and he shared this great story with the graduates.
And before I introduce President Trump, I have to tell you a story. You know, you all know that we win the national championship, we get to go to the White House, and it's a great experience for our players and each and every year. But we won in 2017, President Trump was there in 2018, very gracious host, and he's the first president that invited us to come in the Oval Office. So I take the three captains in the Oval Office, and President's really nice to everybody, and he's got this very big, good-looking, auspicious box on his desk that has a red button on top. And one of the players said, is that what you launch the missiles with? And he said, well, push it and find out. Player said, no, I don't want to do that. He said, oh, go ahead, push it, see what happens, find out. So Rashawn Evans finally got the guts up, went over, pushed the red button. Some lady came in with a Coke on a tray.
Isn't that a great story? I had heard that one before. I got to do a fireside chat with former Vice President Mike Pence in Billings, a couple summers ago or something, and he shared a similar story like that. So just hysterical. But you could just see this big, tough football player, like a little kid, like, what? You want me to do what?
Yeah, that's great. You know, and I think it's cool that those young men and women on those college teams get invited to the White House. I think that's a great deal.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I definitely want to see what you want to talk about here on this Freedom Friday. But since we're talking about Team Trump here, by the way, that came from the Trump War Room, that audio clip. I think it was a C-SPAN clip from last night. C-SPAN's provided more coverage of a lot of these Trump cabinet meetings and other Trump events than any other outlet out there. So credit to C-SPAN. But yesterday morning, it was kind of funny. So I was live on the air, and I see the breaking news come out that Tim Walz, not Tim, I'm sorry, Mike Walz. So Tim Walz, you know, Tampon Tim is the governor of Minnesota, the far-left tap dancer guy. Mike Walz is a badass, Green Beret veteran. He served in the Pentagon way back in the day. He was a Florida congressman. Then he became national security advisor. Anyway, the breaking news came out that Mike Walz is out as national security advisor. And so the media just starts having a field day with this. Oh, Walz ousted as national security advisor. Oh, and they were just celebrating, dancing around on what they thought was his grave. And then like 2 hours later, Mike Waltz selected to be UN ambassador, which, if you ask me, that's actually a bigger, more profile position for him than even the national security advisor. It yeah. was just so funny. The media was just gloating. They were dancing on his grave. And then it's like, easy, boys.
Here's the thing about that, Aaron. So a conservative, he made a mistake. And he'll say, I made a mistake.
Or his staffer did, but either way, he owned up to it.
He's the buck stops with him, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Hey, he steps down or he gets removed, whatever. He did what he needed to do, which was right. You know, he didn't whine about it and cry about it because a liberal would sit there no matter what they did and whine and cry foul and discrimination and all this other
stuff.
They
would never say they did anything wrong.
Exactly.
They would say, hey, yeah, that was a mistake. We had a staffer who added this guy to this chat, whatever. They would never be held accountable.
No.
A, and then B, they would never own up to it and say, yeah, yep, we had some mistakes that were made and we're driving on and we're fixing it and we're moving forward. Next question.
Exactly. The conservative would put his country first and the liberal wouldn't. The liberal thinks, me, 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 what can you do for me? And you can't do that to me. And the conservative is like, well, hey, a mistake was made. Somebody's got to pay for it. I'm that guy. Let's get on with life, right?
But I thought it was so funny. So later in the day, this was like last night. I'm scrolling on Facebook, and I see the Billings Gazette. I see the Montana Television Network TV stations. You look at their Facebook pages, they were outdated. They were old news. They were gloating. Oh, Mike Waltz forced out as national security advisor. And then you could see the people in the comments finish the headline. Give us the rest of the story here. The guy was just given, you know, promoted to be the UN ambassador. And so, which is a, you know, very high profile position, especially for, you know, a fellow veteran like that. And so it's like they wanted to continue the anti-Trump, yeah, we got him narrative. And anyway, so it was just funny to see.
You know, and something else you said there, you know, Tim Walz, he couldn't give any wisdom to a high school shop class. He has no clue what men in this country that actually work on trucks and do stuff like that are mm-hmm. thinking. And I'm not looking to him for anything. That guy is a clown. I wouldn't ask him directions. I wouldn't ask nothing.
Yeah, certainly wouldn't want him holding your shotgun if you were out having a field day or something. Yeah, so Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, tried talking trash on X about Mike Waltz, you know, stepping down as national security advisor. And, man, he just got hammered. But here's the deal. Tim Walz dodged a deployment, left his men. They went to the sandbox. He cowardly stayed behind. Oh, but he wants to talk trash about a Green Beret like Mike Waltz? Yeah. Yeah, keep tap dancing there, old Timmy.
Fox on set.
Grandma and Grandpa could now have an easier time using rideshare apps. Both Uber and Lyft this week have announced special programs aimed at senior citizens, giving them a way to speak with an agent to book rides. Lyft Silver, as it is called, will create a streamlined app experience for users who might be intimidated by the features of a rideshare service or who may have trouble seeing a phone screen. With a quick tap, they can get over-the-phone support. Uber is offering an altered version of their app with bigger text and an easier way to select common destinations, such as for shopping or medical care. They've also long offered a toll-free number to call to arrange for pickups. These new programs are being tested in select markets for now, but both Uber and Lyft will add more locations in the near future. Both Uber and Lyft also offer rider profiles for teens, allowing parents to set destinations and pay for rides. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's May 2nd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. For everyone with a sweet tooth, today is National Truffle Day. When was the chocolate truffle invented? Well, that's open to some debate. Some say it's 1895, while others believe it was invented by mistake in 1920 by the famed chef Auguste Escoffier. But everyone agreed that France was the birthplace of the truffle. Also on this date, baseball's the streak for the Iron Horse Lou Gehrig came to an end in 1939. The Yankees legend had played every game since taking over first base duties in 1925, and at the age of 36, Gehrig told manager Joe McCarthy he wanted out of the lineup, ending his streak of consecutive games played at 2,130. If it's your birthday today, you share it with professional wrestler and action movie star Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Born in 1972. I'm Tushar Saxena with your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Securing America.
The CIA releasing two new Hollywood-style videos on the agency's social media channels that target top Chinese Communist Party officials and lower-level CCP employees disillusioned with the regime who may be interested in spying for the U.S. CIA Director John Ratcliffe in an exclusive interview telling Fox News it's an effective way to attract assets in the Trump administration's efforts to distance the U.S. from China.
Nowhere is this more important than with regard to the People's Republic of China and its ruling Chinese Communist Party. These Mandarin-speaking videos are directed to do exactly that.
Ratcliffe calling China our most formidable adversary seeking to displace the U.S. economically, politically, and militarily. We're told a previous CIA test video in Mandarin reached nearly 1 million Chinese citizens who Ratcliffe says watched it from start to finish. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, here's another Trump war room highlight that I really liked from President Trump's commencement address at the University of Alabama last night. Here's what he told graduates.
As you graduate, it's natural to reflect on 4 years of happy memories, and you've really had happy memories here. You've done a lot of winning. Winning is a good thing to do. But today I'm also asking you to look forward to really something very, very bright and more promising. And it's going to be an even more promising tomorrow. I promise you that. You're the first graduating class of the golden age of America. We're in the golden age. You watch. The golden age.
Man, what could be better to hear as a graduate just about to enter the workforce and start families and things like that, to hear this message of optimism that America ain't finished yet. So I love that soundbite for a number of reasons, but it's just fun how he connects with people. You know, winning is a good thing. That's really his message, is that, yeah. Look, winning is a good thing. Success is a good thing.
Do you suppose he'd give a trophy to everybody? I'm just wondering. I saw him when he used to have a show on, you know, You're Fired. Not everybody got a trophy, and not everybody wins, right? That's why he says it's a good thing to win. And we got to get back to that. You know, recognizing those that do good things and, you know, encouraging others to step up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's another soundbite that I want to share, because I posted it on X earlier this morning. It was a big applause line from President Trump's address yesterday. And I said, if you tried this line, if you were the speaker at an MSU commencement, at a UM graduation, Tech, Carroll, you name Northern, you name it, I think you would also get a big applause line, despite the jeers from some in the uppity professorial crowd. You know, some of the professors, you know, would look down their glasses at you, but the crowd would love it, because you got, you know, parents and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles from all across Montana. Real America shows up on graduation day. That's what I love about some of these commencement addresses. But before we get to that, let's go to the phone lines. Scott in Bozeman, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts this morning?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Aaron. It seems that I feel like we have to have a weekly installment of Tim Walz here. And yes, but I mean, we've got to keep this guy out of Washington in 2028. But yet another fraud has arisen in Minnesota. This one now with school buses and double invoicing and billing the state for millions for supposedly transporting kids. If you remember the food fraud scandal, which is the biggest COVID scandal in the nation, like $400 million or something, the children they claimed to feed was, you know, more than the state had children, of course, and the math didn't add up, and now it's the same. The amount of children they supposedly said that this group of individuals was busing is just like tenfold what actually exists. So it's just yet another fraud. Under Keith Ellison, the Attorney General, and the Governor Tim Walz, we've got to keep this guy in the news. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Bad news.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me. Scott, great phone call. First, George, any thoughts from you? Any initial reactions from you?
Well, you know, the fraud part doesn't surprise me, and that reminds me of another thing about buses we'll talk about later, but you're right. We have to keep these types of people in the news, in the forefront of everyone's mind until it's made so they just have to fade away. Because this guy, you know, every time he opens his mouth, he proves that he's not fit to hold office.
Yeah. So here was the other thing that stood out to me with what Scott had to say here. Look at all these white liberals. I was listening to Elon Musk and the Doge team do this interview with Jesse Waters last night, and they were talking about this billions and billions and billions of federal slush fund for COVID funds, and they were abusing COVID funds because there was really no strings attached, because they're just like, yeah, here's this COVID fund money, kind of use it however you want. They were renting out entire stadiums for events. They were renting out the Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas for big old massive parties. And Elon Musk said it started with little things. They started kind of, you know, stealing this money for little things. And then they realized, like, oh, nobody cares. So they just started doing big things.
Right.
And that's how they ended up renting out, you know, the Caesar's Palace using COVID funds. But to this point, what Scott was saying, you know, isn't it interesting that you remember when Obama had his stimulus plan, they mm-hmm. called it. You know, what was the phrase line? You know, boots or shovels in the ground or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Shovel-ready projects, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so they start kicking out all these federal dollars everywhere. It was crazy. Nowhere near as crazy as the COVID money that started getting kicked out everywhere. They start kicking out this money everywhere. And then, you know, so everybody starts taking this federal money. Well, then people started getting prosecuted for mishandling that money. And there were a lot of tribal leaders who got prosecuted, even here in Montana, for misusing the Obama stimulus money. And I just find it interesting. It's like, okay, wow, our own federal government was willing to hold tribal leaders accountable for mismanaging Obama stimulus money. And of course, there were others as well. I was like, but now you got all these woke white liberals that have clearly been you know, fraud, waste, and abuse with USAID funds, with COVID slush funds, and everything. Where's the accountability for these people? Obviously, in Minnesota, it's you know, the woke white liberals are getting off the hook there.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's true. You know, I remember driving between Hardin and I was going past the battlefield down there, and I was going down to see the Northern Cheyenne, and there was a great big blue Obama sign, Shovel Ready Project, brought to you by Barack Obama, this huge blue sign in the middle of nowhere. And I'm thinking, well, that's a good use of funds right there.
Yeah, that was a campaign sign using your taxpayer dollars.
Exactly.
To campaign is what that was, yeah. And then they didn't put a big sign up, oh, yeah, we gave you that money, and then we figured out how to throw you in prison for using that money that we gave you. But that's what the Democrats do.
That's it.
They come out to Indian country and, oh, yeah, keep voting for us, keep voting for us. You just sent Tren de Aragua and Mexican drug cartels to target our people, but you want us to keep voting for you. And some still do. Many still do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's all you have to see is this Democrat reaction to the Maryland man who's an illegal, who only a Democrat can tell you, say, you know, if somebody gives the okay sign, like, hey, it's okay, I'm okay, they call you a white supremacist. But if you tattoo MS-13 on your knuckles, no, he's not an MS-13
member. That's not what that means.
No.
You don't know that.
No. And, which I thought was really interesting, because did you see the picture of it? It has a smiley face, so like a dollar sign, a smiley face. So the smiley face is S, the dollar, you know. It's code. But everybody knows what it is, except Democrats. They don't want to admit it. Now they're doubling and tripling down on this nonsense. Every American should be ticked off. They wouldn't fight that hard for your kid if they were in jail.
I guarantee you. But some illegal alien who's a gang member who beats his wife and smuggles people into the country and does all this stuff, yeah, they're gonna triple down and fight for that guy.
Yeah. But your observation there was just brilliant because, yeah, remember when if you were a police officer and you had the OK sign flashed in the photo, or if somebody else does the little OK sign with their fingers, they're like, oh, white supremacy, white power, you know, you had to do the Dave Chappelle voice, white power, you know.
Well,
like,
yeah.
But now the same people are like, well, even though, you know, law enforcement and federal law enforcement and everybody is saying that those symbols on his fingertips are spelling out MS-13. No, you don't know that's what that says. You don't know what that's what that says. Speaking of Kilmore Abrego, the Garcia, the MS-13 gangbanger that the Democrats desperately want to bring back to this country. What's this story about? Because I think there's an analogy here. What's this story about this cat killer? And where was that story from?
Oh, man. Orange County, California. So there was a guy.
Of course.
Yeah. There's a guy out there. He was supposedly... Santa Ana, California. He was baiting and killing cats, torturing, killing cats, stomping, just horrible stuff, right? And that is wrong. It's bad. His name was Alejandro Acosta. Doesn't say if he's an illegal alien or not. Doesn't bring it up in the story because, you know, the liberal media wouldn't want you to know that he was illegal. But anyway, he kills a bunch of cats. People in the neighborhood get really ticked off at this stuff. And they decide to kind of do some vigilante justice of their own. So they go to this house. And there's video of them tearing down the fence in the front yard. It's a privacy fence.
Shaking this
fence,
right?
Shaking it. They bust the door open. When the homeowner comes out to shut the gate, they pepper spray him. They're throwing stuff. They're breaking windows, throwing stuff at the house. You see these little kids looking out the front window through the curtains. And they go through all of this. It was the wrong house.
Wrong guy.
Wrong house.
Oh, my goodness.
So they lost their minds. They went out. They tried to take matters into their own hands. They failed miserably. And it just shows you mob mentality is not very smart.
Not only that, but what the mob decides to mob over.
Yeah.
Like, they mob over a guy who killed cats. But did they mob the houses of these guys who actually killed women, moms,
no.
Teenagers? Did they mob riot at their houses or anything?
No.
But yet they'll mob riot in defense of Kilmore?
Yeah.
So, it's look, we all love animals, but these people that place the value of animals over humans, or animals like these MS-13 gangbangers over American citizens and American women, you know, it's like they literally value the animals over the people, literally and figuratively, with whether it's the cats versus people, or whether it's the animals that are these Trinidad Aragua gangbangers and these Mexican drug cartels over peaceful, law-abiding citizens.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
George Blecker, you're a blank, blank genius. You got to do the Forrest Gump reference here. So, we had Sean O'Daniel. He's a State Farm agent in Billings. He dropped by. He's putting on this tacos and tequila event at the Billings Depot on Sunday. So I said, George, here, you need a couple of these passes. You figured out something. So there's seven little numbers on here. So apparently you can do... You know, you got seven little tabs on this, and they can go towards tacos or margaritas.
Yeah, a taste or a sip.
Yeah, so you could. So you got seven chances, seven tickets basically here for tacos or tequila.
Yeah, and of course I said, well, one taco and six margaritas it is, right?
There you go.
So that reminds me of a story, Aaron. This is a great. So we were out in, I think it was Portsmouth, Virginia. We were in the shipyards, and it was time to have a division party. And I'm like, a division party? What is that?
That does not sound fun. That sounds like too much brass.
Well, that's what I thought. But what it turned out was our boiler room, just the BTs and the machinist mates, we had money that somebody saved up, gave to us, said, here, you're going to have a party. So we're like, well, great. What's the rules? Well, you have to have food. You got to have some
food at this party. So I show up to the party, and there are tubs of beer. There's liquor everywhere. It obviously, alcohol was the main focus of this. And I said, where's the food? And they said, that's over there on that table. I looked over there. It's like 8 bags of chips. That was the food. 8 bags of chips. So
this was definitely the enlisted party.
Well, the shipyards were, it was a tough time, Aaron. Yeah. It was a tough time.
So. Hey, that reminds me, you got a funny message. We were talking about, oh, yeah, the same people that are lecturing us saying, oh, those symbols on his hand, that doesn't mean MS-13. That doesn't mean MS. The same people who said the OK symbol was white power, white supremacy. So this is a good Freedom Friday topic, because on Freedom Friday, you know, we love to cover, you know, the political news of the day, but also, you know, good military stories, patriotic stories, law enforcement stories. So our Marine Corps veteran buddy listening to the show right now, he sent you a text. And since graduation season is upon us, some of these kids are going to go into the military. They need to know important information like this, George, before they go. This will protect you in more ways than one.
Exactly. You have to watch out for the circle game.
The circle game.
And they call that racist, too. But everybody that knows the circle game is laughing right now.
So let's just say the circle game. So kids, listen up. If you're graduating and you're thinking of joining the military, or if you just work with a bunch of, you know, doofuses like us, you know, down at the railroad or wherever you're at, and you're working with a bunch of military veterans, if you're walking past them and they say, hey, George, and they flash the little OK symbol.
Don't look at it.
That's not white supremacy. It's not OK. What happens is, if you look at it, circle game says you get punched in the you-know-what. So don't look down.
Don't look down.
Even if you see it. Even if you see it.
Don't admit it. Just keep going.
Eyes hurt, you know, keep looking forward. Pretend you are standing at the position of attention, getting chewed out because things got a little out of hand at that boiler room party.
Oh, yeah. You know, I saw a story about this. It was like a high school team of some kind, like a lacrosse team or something like that. Anyway, they had a hazing party that turned out really bad. It was not a good thing. It was bad. But as far as people getting hurt, it was pretty minimal. It wasn't that huge of a thing as far as that goes. But every time I see one of these, I think about the things they did to us in the military and some of the hazing we experienced there. And I'm telling you, that was painful stuff, man. You know, Aaron, probably, well, you remember, you were in back then. When I made petty officer, I got my crow. You know, that's the chevron with the bird above it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they call your crow.
Us Army guys think you're now a full-bird colonel, so you get saluted all the time if the Army guys are around.
So, you know, you get that. And that's a big deal when you get petty officer for the first time. And what they do is they tack on your crow. And I'm like, tack on my crow? What is that? And they're like, you'll find out. So you get this crow, you put it on your sleeve. Now you have your rank on there. And everybody that's a petty officer longer than you or above you comes along and they get to punch you in the shoulder to tack on your crow, right? Man, I'm telling you, some guys come up and they just barely hit you. Some just put everything
that's what you're supposed to do. You got to, you know, put some oomph into it.
Oh, yeah. Some put everything they have into it. And then you have your senior guys, your E6s. They will come up and they'll touch your arm and kind of push on a little bit. And if you wince a lot, they'll be like, nah, it's not ready yet. It's not ready yet. So you have a couple of guys that you're just like, oh, they're going to get me. They're going to get me. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they just barely hit you and say congratulations.
So apparently you can't do this anymore, but in the Army, we would call it blood wings.
Yeah.
So like when I got my air assault wings, you know, pinned on, it was like, it was where you literally got it pinned on and they punch it into you. And so you get a couple little red marks on your chest, no big deal. And then same thing with the airborne jump wings, things like that. Actually, fun side story, Newt Gingrich pinned on my jump wings.
No way.
He happened to be touring Fort Benning, Georgia that morning, and I was deployed with a friend that was basically chauffeuring him around. He had this Army Ranger that was chauffeuring him around, and so they said, "Hey, do you want Newt to pin on your jump wings?" I'm like, "Heck yeah!" So he didn't do the blood wings, but it probably was outlawed already by that point anyway. So whatever, but it's still cool.
Yeah, it is, and not too many people can say that happened to him.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. But yeah, it's a different time these days, but I tell you what, Aaron, people were tough back then, and none of us went crying to command that somebody hit us in the arm or that we got hurt or anything like that. So yeah, it's a different military, but Pete Hegseth is trying to take it back to a more lethal, tougher force.
Yeah, in fact, I want to talk about Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense here, but we were talking about tacos and tequila, and it reminded me of this song. I was trying to cue it up on the. I was trying to cue it up right at the chorus, though. You were talking about one taco and six margaritas, but for some reason I started singing this song in my head, and so instead of me singing it, we better let Garth Brooks actually sing it here. I think it's pretty close to the chorus. Man, it's Friday now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Where's the beach? That's what I want to know.
Well, I've got a couple good beach spots in Montana, but I'm not telling everybody.
Exactly.
I'm not telling everybody. We got to do a vet together, though, out on the pontoon boat this summer sometime.
Yeah, we do. That sounds great.
Get a bunch of veterans out there. We'll take off after the show. We'll be out there. We'll be on the water by 1 o'clock. No big deal.
That'd be good. Do we just spend the night on the water? How do we get back?
That's do that. They've got some boat-in campgrounds. It'd be kind of cool, too.
Maybe we can put the word out if anybody wants to drive us back.
We'll have your buddy Ryan. He'll be the bear bait, We'll lather him up in bacon grease and put him out on shore. See what happens.
Yeah, that's funny because I saw he sent me something this morning and talked about how many men does it take to...
Defeat
a gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, it would take 100 Marines. Only, 35 of them are going to do the work, but it was pretty good. Everybody else stands around, taking Zen and drinking Monster Energy drinks and things while they watch the other guys take care of it.
But, yeah, the toughest guys will be the first to fall because they'll think they can win the fight. I was chatting with Becky Hillier about that earlier this morning. That's like the social media trend now is everybody's tackling this question, who wins? 100 men or a gorilla? Did you have an answer to that question, or did you see any good answers to that question, George?
I've seen tons of different ones. Yeah, it has been quite a big deal, but I've been a little too busy to get too deep into it.
Yeah, I just haven't even attempted to answer that question. But I thought, I thought Navy SEAL veteran and U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, I thought he had one of the better answers yet.
We've been doing a lot of constituent engagement lately. High schools, service academies, it's been a great time. Coming off 2 weeks of recess, but we had some serious questions lately about the likelihood of a fight between 100 men and a gorilla and who would win that. And I think it's pretty clear anyone who's been involved in close combat before will understand that the 100 men would clearly win. The gorilla would eventually get overwhelmed by the superior intellect and speed of the humans. The first guy would probably get their skulls crushed. That's just got to be honest with you. But eventually we'd overtake him, and eventually we'd put him down. So it would be tiring, it would be exhausting. We'd probably have a high casualty rate between 20% and 35%, I'd say. But in the end, man would win.
All right, that's the good news, George. In the end, man would win.
That's right.
Now, some people got offended by that, George, because he used gender-specific pronouns there.
My
can you believe he used male-specific pronouns?
I don't know. The humanity of it all.
Man, I can't believe you just did that. Now, you got a couple of dads in studio. You're going to get dad jokes.
That's right.
Plenty of dad jokes. Okay, we got to take a quick break. Hey, phone lines are open for you. I should play another Trump commencement highlight, too. The one that I think would also draw a big applause line at UM or MSU. I forgot to play that one. So I'll play that one next, and then more Freedom Friday with fellow veteran George Blackard.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We have had on agents that for 15, 20 years, their whole job has been monitoring sex trafficking of children into our country. report by Department of Homeland Security Inspector General's office found that 32,000 unaccompanied minors failed to show up for immigration court hearings from 2019 to 2024. Another 291,000 illegal immigrant children did not receive court notices. The report stated that those who do not appear for court are considered at higher risk for trafficking, exploitation, and forced labor. I mean, we have 350,000 kids in this country. There is evil. If you don't believe in evil, there's evil. You do this to a child, you're evil.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless that comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. An audience with the Pope is a day to remember. But only on Capitol Hill would the day after the Pope visited become even more memorable. The late Pope Francis came to Congress to speak to a joint meeting of Congress on September 24, 2015. The Pope is a head of state ruling the Vatican City and the Holy See. As such, Francis became the first Pope to speak to a joint meeting of Congress in the House chamber. But after his meeting with the Holy Father, then House Speaker John Boehner made a decision which would reverberate for years. Boehner decided to quit the speakership the very next day. His encounter with the Holy Father seemingly transformed the Speaker. Former Congressman and former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows had tried to oust Boehner that summer. Republicans have fought over speakers ever since. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy lacked the votes to succeed Boehner. The GOP barely convinced former House Speaker Paul Ryan to run. Then McCarthy won in 2023, but only served for a few months. Later that fall, the House sat without a speaker for more than 3 weeks before finally settling on House Speaker Mike Johnson. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And I love sports, so I think I should have come here. Congratulations as well to the women's track and field team for winning two SEC titles this year. That's something. As long as I'm president, we will always protect women's sports. Men will not play in women's sports.
Yeah, George, listen to that thunderous applause President Trump receiving at a graduation ceremony at the University of Alabama. I think if he or anybody else said the same thing at MSU or UM at a graduation there, you'd get the same raucous applause. Some professors would have, you know, a little you know what in their Cheerios, but hey.
Yeah, well, you know, it's common sense. Most people don't want men competing in women's sports. You just have this very vocal, very small group of people, plus the media, plus some college professors. I mean, it's really not that many people, but yeah, it's common sense.
What did you want to say about SecDef Pete Hegseth before I sneak in a caller here?
He's coming in and he's going to streamline some things, you know. He's doing a great job, I think, and he's working on making our military more streamlined and more lethal. So what he's doing is he's merging some commands. He's getting rid of antiquated things. You know, there's some vehicles out there that we have no business nor need to be hanging on to just because they're in some politician's home state. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So they figure that he can save hundreds of millions of dollars. No, excuse me, 5 years, $40 billion by combining some commands and getting rid of some antiquated programs.
Too many generals.
Talking about getting rid of like 1,000 people at the Pentagon because we don't need all these people, right? We know that a lot of times they have these positions because it's, hey, you've been in a long time. Here, we're going to reward you with this position, right? But the reason nobody has ever done this in the past is because Congress won't let them. All these politicians, they have their favors they've done for people, and they
fingers in the cookie jar.
They've got their fingers in this and that, and they want this little command to be left alone in their state. So really, it's Congress that has held them back from doing this. Typically, what they do is just throw more money at it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give you more money.
Yeah, yeah. I played that clip from Senator Tim Sheehy earlier. He wrote a great guest opinion column for the DailyCaller.com, 100 Days of Putting Warfighters First. Here's the final line of that op-ed. The results of President Trump and Pete Hegseth's first 100 days on the job speak for themselves. Recruitment is on the rise. Terrorists are on the run. And most importantly, our warfighters know they have a president and defense secretary who have their backs. We got another fellow veteran on the phone lines right now, Rock, calling in from the middle of nowhere. Rock, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, there's always talk about, oh, my gosh, the economy, Trump's economy. He's been in there 100 days, right? Think about it like this. It's like gaining weight, really easy to do, right? You know about that when you got out of the military.
That's right.
Yeah, but you turn it around, it's tough to get rid of it, isn't it? Tough to lose that weight. It sure takes it's a lot easier to put it on than to take it off. Well, when the economy gets messed up like it did with Biden, and he was able to do it pretty quick, it's going to take some time to recover.
Well, they fattened up the numbers. Yeah. They lied about the jobs numbers. They fattened up the numbers by spending more of our money on federal bureaucrats, and it's unsustainable. We got a $2 trillion deficit. Yeah, Rock, great phone call. George, man, great to see you again. Thanks for being with us. By the way, the jobs numbers came out better than expected today, was the big economy headline today. 15 seconds. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Hey, you know, get out there, have a good time, enjoy this weather, be good to your neighbors, you know, love your kids, tell your parents you love them. I got happiness today.
Now I got a tear in my beer.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most discussions of the cuts or attempted cuts in federal government spending and jobs lack context. They fail to note that the roughly $7.1 trillion being spent today is 47% higher than the $4.8 trillion spending level at the beginning of 2020, before the COVID surge occurred. This is after accounting for the huge declines in spending that occurred as the temporary programs expired. The fact that the federal government's spending is on an unsustainable path is well known and generally acknowledged. What's less well known is that the COVID up-down swing landed us on a higher and faster trajectory of spending growth. And so the notion of a cut in spending, always a nebulous concept in the Washington Beltway, has been rendered even more meaningless. Compared to what, as economist Thomas Sowell likes to say, there's little good to say about the often crude and painful nature of announced plans for federally funded operations, yet the unspoken alternative is even worse. I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.